سورة الفاتحة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله رب العالمين.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، عما بعد. إمام حسين عليه الصلاة والسلام embarked on a great journey. He undertook a great responsibility and he fulfilled it. And the religion that he displayed and the Islam that he showed us through his actions and the message that he gave was unlike any other message that any of God's representatives have given in history. Imam Hussein's message was very distinct from others. Imam Hussein's mission was distinct in three ways from the other imams, peace be upon all of them. One was the clarity of the mission. Two was the appeal. The clarity meaning that it was clear what the imam was trying to get across. No one misunderstood. It was crystal clear. Two, the appeal, meaning that when people take time to listen to what happened, even a non-Muslim, they will quickly become drawn to Ahlul Bayt by seeing what happened on this event. So the appeal is very, look at how people come together when this event is being commemorated and discussed because of its appeal, even to the youth. And three, the effectiveness of the event. If you desire to learn Islam, the easiest way, the best way, the most clear way is to learn it through the events of Karbala on Ashura. If you are unable, for whatever reason, to learn Islam and understand Islam from the events that happen on Ashura, then you will not be able to learn it from any other imam. And I'll explain if you send a salawat. An ayat or a sign can be big or small. Obviously, a small sign, some people could miss it. But a big sign, more people can see it and become attracted to it, like we're on a highway. You may see a small sign and pass by it. You may see a big billboard and you don't miss it. The events of Karbala was like this big billboard. So when you see the events of Karbala, it's very unlikely that you will not, that if you pay attention, you will not come away without understanding what Islam is in its entirety. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Anna ayatullahi al-kubra wa anna al-Quranul natik." I am the great sign of Allah and I am the Quran, I am the talking Quran. You know, so the a'imma are the great signs, and the event of Karbala is amongst the greatest signs. For those who are unaware, Karbala is a combination of two words. Karb, which is distress or hardships or grief, and bala, which is trials. So the land of Karbala is a land of grief and trials. And this land, throughout history of all the Anbiya has been an area where there's been some sort of grief and trial. But the events of Ashura was the biggest of all. Was the biggest of all. Now the question that we have to ask is this. What was the lesson of Karbala?
I apologize. We volunteers are working in the parking lots and now. If you park your cars on the neighbor's properties or on the grass, the tow trucks be there, your car's going to get towed. So we just want to make this announcement one time. You know where you park your car. If you park on a neighbor's property, we have no permission from them. So please remove your cars from there. Sorry, Maulana Sahib.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Jazakallah. So once again, we have to ask the question, what is the lesson that is taught in Karbala? It is no distinction or honor to relearn something. For example, if you have 33 surahs of Quran memorized and you forget them, and then you relearn those 33 surahs again, you have not done a big deal. The first time was a big deal. That was the honor of you accomplishing that the first time. Doing it again is no big deal. So, if you think the lesson of Karbala is jihad, you're wrong. That has been a lesson that has been taught on every battle Rasulullah fought. Jihad was taught. Shahadat, martyrdom, was taught also in many, Badr, Uhud, and many other battles. Jihad and shahadat, you know, jihad and martyrdom was a lesson taught. So now that I've removed that out of the equation, what was the lesson or what is the secret of Karbala? Nabi Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show him the status of the Ummat of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the veil from Musa and he showed him the nearness to Allah and the status of the sincere of the Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a result of seeing this, Nabi Musa alayhi salam almost fainted. He almost couldn't take it. He's seen the honor of this Ummat of Muhammad. So he asked, Ya Allah, what is it that gives the Ummat of Muhammad this rank over all of the other nations of the other Anbiya? And he gave him an answer, which I'm going to leave you in suspense at right now. He did give the answer, but I'm going to leave you in suspense. There was one. He told Nabi Musa, there is this quality that I find in the Ummat of Muhammad that I have not found in any other Ummat. And for this quality is how they achieve this rank. Whatever this quality is the secret of Karbala. Whatever this, for right now, unknown quality is the secret, is the lesson of Karbala. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. In life, we do certain things to obtain certain ranks. And obviously, certain things can give us high ranks and certain things can give us higher ranks. And this quality, this attribute is something that the mu'min and mu'minat of Ahlul Bayt and Rasulullah are known by. In a few moments, inshallah, I'll give you the quality. But this quality is what the believers in Ahlul Bayt and Rasulullah are known by. So either we have the equality, we have this quality, alhamdulillah. If we don't have the quality, we do our best effort. We make jihad to attain this quality. Understand this before I give you the quality. If we have this quality, alhamdulillah, ask Allah to increase it. If we don't have this quality, we beg and plead that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this quality. Because this quality is what the Ashab is what the companions of Hussein had on the night of Ashura. This quality is what sets them apart from everyone else. This very quality. And it is not, for some reason, people think when they think of Ahlul Bayt, they think of Superman, Hercules, the Hulk, and all these fantastic people. Yes, they knew the great names of Allah. Yes, they had certain gifts that Allah gave them that they inherited from Rasulullah. But understand this, my young brothers and young sisters and adults as well. The Ahlul Bayt never solved problems using miracles. The Ahlul Bayt never solved problems using miracles. They only did miracles to prove the truthfulness of their claim. So everything that they did was doable. Every rank that they have, we may not achieve it, but it's doable. Example, Salman Farsi. Salman Muhammadi, Miqdad, Abu Dhar, Amr ibn Yasir. These people have high, huge high ranks. To be Salman Farsi was called Ahlul Bayt, Salman Muhammadi. So that's proof that normal human beings like us who are not masoom can achieve what? These high ranks. So first of all, if you think that it's, you know, the Superman and this and that, and we can't do that, that is a trick from Shaitan. The Imams have told you, listen, you can achieve this if you put forth this effort. In other words, we have the latent potential. Whether we do it or not is another thing, but we have the potential. That's like a young basketball player. He has the potential to be better than Michael Jordan. Whether he does it or not is on his own work ethic. You can be the best at many things, but whether you do or not is you know, what you put forth. Now, if you send three loud salawats, then by the grace of Allah, I'll give you this quality, inshallah. As we have mentioned a few moments ago, that jihad was a lesson that was taught in many other battles. Jihad was a lesson that was taught in many other battles. Shahadat, martyrdom, was a lesson taught in many other battles. So let me ask you this question. On Ashura, did Imam Hussein just show us how to die, or did he also show us how to live? Did Imam Hussein just show us how to die on an Ashura, or did he show us how to live as well? I see the nodding, the understanding. Yes, he showed us both how to die and live. The message that he displayed to show us how to live is not as clear. It's there, but it's not as clear. If you're not looking for it, it's not clear. But if you're looking for it, then it's crystal clear. So understand this, Imam Hussein did not just show us how to die on Karbala, he also showed us how to live. Did he teach us a little portion of Islam on Karbala, or did he teach us Islam as a whole? As a whole. The quality or the secret of Karbala is this word called ithar. 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 In English, altruism or self-sacrifice. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al-Itharu afdalul ibadat wa ajalla siyadat. Ithar is the most excellent act of worship and the greatest eminence, the greatest distinction. He also said, Al-Itharu a'lal mukharram. A'lal mukharram. Remember, I'm English, my Arabic is sketchy. But he said, ithar is the highest of noble virtues. So now think, ithar, wait a minute. The highest ibadat, ithar. The highest of noble virtues. This is the quality that set the ashab, the companions of Imam Hussein, apart from everyone else. Now, Sheikh Yusuf or Brother Yusuf or Maulana, tell us what that is exactly. Okay. Ithar is this. It's composed of two qualities. One is giving. Giving. So let's discuss giving. If we give our excess, our surplus, that is called sadaqah. You know, I have my paycheck, I paid my bills, I bought my family gifts, I have this extra money, I give it away, that's sadaqah. my surplus, my extra. Now, if we go to the next level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, you will never obtain righteousness until you what? Give that which you love. So the next level of giving is, you look in your closet, ladies, and you see you have all these nice jalabiya or abaya, and you don't go to the side with all the old stuff. You know, you got the old stuff, you wore it 10,000 times. You don't go there. You go to the new stuff you haven't worn yet that the tag is still on it, and you say, two of these here, my two favorite ones, those are the ones I'm going to give away. Those two, my two favorite ones, those are the ones I'm going to give away. Or brothers, you have your garments and your clothes, and you know, you don't go to the stuff that you wore, you know, for the last few Eids or this and that. You go to the good stuff you like, your favorite shawal kameez, or your favorite thobe, or this and that. And you take some of those that you like, and then you give that away. So the first level of giving is sadaqah. No, it's great quality, but no big deal, really. Because you're giving your excess. It's easy. You're giving what you have left over. The next level, Allah considers albir, righteousness, because you're giving away something that you yourself love, which is much more difficult. Man, this is my favorite thing, man. You know, but you notice Rasulullah, if you asked, said to Rasulullah, can you come forward, please, inshallah? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Okay. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. An example is that whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, someone would mention that he had on a nice garment, he would immediately go in the house, take it off, perfume it, and give it. He would quickly give it. So understand that the first level of giving, or the first, you know, type of giving is sadaqah, which you're giving your what? Your excess, what you have left over. The next level of righteousness, or the next level of giving, which is righteous, Allah says that, you know, you will not obtain righteousness until you give what? That which you love. So you give away now what you yourself like, not just the stuff you're tired of. What you like. What you like. Now the next level is itar. The next level, the highest level of giving, the best level of giving, a virtue that cannot be surpassed, is when you give away what you yourself, when you give away what you yourself, not what you have left over, not what you like, but you give away what you yourself need. You give away now what you yourself need. I'll give you an example if you send the salawat. I'm paraphrasing for the sake of time. Imam Ali, alayhi salatu wasalam, was in his house and the family was hungry. Hassanain and the children and the girls, everyone in the house was hungry and all he had was one dirham. And on the flip side, simultaneously, one of his companions was also had his family starving. So much so that his family, the kids were crying, he had to go outside. Not because he wasn't a bad father, but the cry of his family was making him sad, so he had to go outside. So he went outside and, you know, Imam Ali had one dirham and they ran across each other. And obviously he's the imam, so he knows, but he asked him, you know, what's wrong? He said, well, Maulana, my family is starving and this and that. And he says, well, we also have the same problem in our house. And I have this one dirham and I'm going to get some food with it. But here, you take it. Here, you take it. As a result, the man went and fed his family. When Imam went back home, obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded such high moral standards. This is from Maqaram al-Akhlaq, the highest of noble morals. When he went back to his house, his family was no longer hungry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a meal from the Jannah to them. The point being made on this hadith is the fact that Ali did not give away a dirham that he had left over. He did not give away, you know, something that he, you know, just liked. It was all he had. He gave away what he himself needed. He gave away what he himself needed. This is ithar. This is ithar, when you give away what you yourself need. And it's a very high level, a very hard distinction to obtain. We find it hard to give away the stuff that we don't like, let alone give away what we do like or what we need. And this is the distinction now that Musa, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, where Allah said, the ummah of Muhammad has a quality that I have not found in any of the other nations of the Anbiya, and because of this quality, I have given him this rank. And now you know, say it loud, this quality is what? Ithar. Self-sacrifice. Giving away what you yourself need. Listen, it does not mean, husbands, that you give away what your family needs. No. It means you give away what you need. What you yourself need. You give your family what they need, their rights. And then what you have that's yours left over, if you desire, you give that away. You don't, you know, you don't take away the rights of your family and do this. But you give away what you yourself. Ladies, what is yours? Children, what is yours? You know, nobody else has any rights to it. What is yours alone and you need it, then you can give it away. To understand that concept, you know, don't have your family starving because you want to display ithar because you violated their rights. You know, so understand that, please. But this quality of ithar, this is the reason the companions of Imam Hussein have this distinction. And this is a huge thing. This is a huge, and let me explain if you send the salawat, inshallah. When Imam was traveling to Kufa, Hur ibn Riyad stopped him on the way. The army of Yazid, you know, the contingent of Hur, stopped him. Now, Imam is masoom and he has ilm and knowledge of the ghaib, the unseen. Are you with me so far? The Imam was stopped by Hur. The Imam knew because he, you know, Rasulullah came to him in dreams. Rasulullah, you know, for all of the lives of the Ahlul Bayt, they were preparing for this time. Lady Bibi Fatima Tazahra, salamullahi alayhi, she was aware. Rasulullah had made mention. Everyone knew of this event of Karbala that was going to come in history. So this was something not new for even some of the companions who were aware. But anyway, so the point I'm making is Imam knew that he was going to need his water in a couple days. But knowing this, when the army of Hur stopped him, he did not just give them their water. He did not say just give them water. He also said give them water and their horses water. Knowing that in a few days they will be refrained from drinking water. They will be held from having water. They will be prevented from water. He still gave away what they needed. Ithar. Listen, understand this. Anytime the imams made a confrontation, it was politics to get them there. Politics caused the imams to confront. But once the confrontation is there, it's all about akhlaq. Islamic akhlaq and un-Islamic akhlaq. This is what it's about. The morals of a believer and the morals of a kafir. Every instance. Why do you think Rasulullah said Islam is husnul khulq? Islam is good morals. And the highest of morals is what? Ithar. So in brief, what Hussein was doing, Imam Hussein was doing, was making it clear he was exposing the morals or the akhlaq of evil. That's what he was doing. And he was also what? Showing the people the akhlaq of a believer. A believer, what? Even my enemy, I'm good to him. Even my enemy, I'll give them water. Even my enemy, I'll feed them horses. I'll give their horses water. So if we're good to our enemies, then you know how we're supposed to be to each other. This is all about akhlaq, character, morals, and manners. Muhammad wa ali Muhammad salawat. So here it is.
Excuse me.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So here it is. The army stops the caravan of love, stops Imam Hussein's caravan, and the Imam orders his, you know, retainers and the you know, his companions to give them water and even give their horses water. And Imam himself held his water skin for some of them with his own blessed hands. Knowing that in a few days he would need that very water. But now let's not talk about the Imam. Let's talk about, for this moment, the Ashab, the companions of the Imam. You may say, you know, why did they stay there and defend him to the death? Well, maybe because they made bayat to him and they were going to uphold it. Wrong. The imam took his bayat back from them and said, you are now not under obligation anymore and you may leave. You have permission to leave. I have taken my bayat back from you and you will not decrease in rank one bit. What you have done already is good enough. So I take my bayat, you can go. They still did not leave anywhere. You figure, well, some people had shame. Hiya, shame will make people do a lot of things, shame. So you figure, well, you know, being that people may be bashful or shy to leave, what did the imam do? He had the lights turned out. Turn the lights out so anyone who is ashamed to leave can leave in darkness. So he turned out the lights so they can leave in darkness. He turned the lights back on, they were still sitting there. So he took bayat back from them and they didn't leave. He gave them the opportunity to leave in darkness, they didn't leave. He said to them, you know, if you think, you know, they may figure that, you know, they can save him. He said, if you think, I'm paraphrasing, if you think that your staying will save me, you're wrong. I will be killed and men will be in these tents of the ladies tomorrow. So they, you know, if you think you're going to save me, if that's your intention that you're going to save me, it's not valid. So he took that excuse away from them. Then, you know, maybe they wanted to get, you know, high ranks in Jannah. But what did the imam do? He showed them their position in Jannah. And he said, listen, this high rank you have is already there. Your rank will not get any higher, nor will it get any lower if you leave because of what you have already done for me. So he took away the fact of they can get a higher level in Jannah. He took away every excuse for them. Listen, he took the bayat back, ladies and gentlemen. He took the bayat back from them. They were not no longer had to fight for him. He took away the excuse of shame from them. He gave them the opportunity to leave in darkness. He told them, listen, you will not save me. So don't think you're going to save me. He took that excuse. He said, listen, you're right. He showed them their position. Your ranks are already high. My companions are not like any other companions. Your rank is already high. It will not get any higher. If you leave or fight for me, it's the same. If you leave or fight for me, it's the same. If you leave or fight for me, it's the same. You won't get a higher rank. So listen, why did they stay? Why did they stay? And this should hit home. This should hit home. The only reason they stayed for the imam was to give him a few more minutes of life on this earth. They gave their lives for him only so he could live 5 minutes longer. That is the only reason they stayed there. They gave away what they needed. They needed their own life. What is more precious than your own life? What is more precious than your own life? They knew they weren't going to save him. They knew they weren't going to change what was the outcome. They only did that so he could be on this earth for a few minutes longer. This is Ithar. This is why they have that rank. And the believers have this rank. This Ithar. Think about that. Think about that. Now you know the motives why they stayed there. It wasn't so they didn't get higher levels in Jannah. It wasn't because they were ashamed to leave. It wasn't because they knew they were going to save him. They only stayed there to give him a few more minutes of life. Just a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes. And when the battles began, the imam wanted to send his own, he wanted to send his family out first. And guess what? You know, obviously it's not good to disobey the imam, but they did not agree with that. They were not going to let the imam send his family out first. They were not trying to hear that. No. No, we're not allowing that. We and one after another, they went out there and made speeches encouraging the opponents to get a clue, come to their senses. And many did and came over to Imam Hussein. Why? Because they saw his clock. They were like, wait a minute, how can we fight this man? How can we prevent him from giving water when he himself gave us water a few days ago and even drank, made our horses drink? His akhlaq, these morals, his character. Imam Hussein was showing us how to live. If you are good to your enemies, then how are you going to be with your brothers and sisters in Iman? Sacrifice. He was teaching us how to live. Stand up against doom. Display adalat, display justice. You know, have the highest of morals. This is what is missed in the Karbala event. The lesson wasn't shahadat. The lesson wasn't jihad. It was ithar. Just think, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking us to give our lives for the imams. He's not asking us to do this. All he's asking us is to what? Listen. The imam gave his companions every opportunity to leave. Understand this, ladies. Understand this, gentlemen. The imam gave his companions every opportunity to leave. So why did he say, woe to those who hear my call and do not help me? Why did he say, do not be in range of my call for help? Because it wasn't about a literal call for help, meaning who is going to uphold this religion? Who is going to practice this religion? Who is going to uphold this jewel that he's dying for? Who is going to keep this alive? The whole purpose of Karbala is to what? Show the truth of Islam. How to live and die for the sake of justice. Who is going to uphold that? Who is going to help him in keeping that alive? Are we going to give it away? It's one thing that people are trying to take it away. Are we going to give it away, ladies and gentlemen? Salawat if you understand. After all of the companions of the imam displayed courage and valor and were tasting the sweetness of death and martyrdom, and they displayed ithar, they gave their lives for the imam to live a little while longer. Now it was time for the Ahlul Bayt themselves. Abul Hassan Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Akbar was hearing the calls for battle from the opponents and wanted to make haste to get out there before they decided to make a unified attack. So he went to Imam Hussein, his father, and asked for permission to go to battle. And he looked at him and he said, if only you were a father and could understand what I'm going through now. And he said, go to your mother, Umi Layla, and your aunt Zainab, who raised you and took care of you, and seek their permission. And he went there, and the ladies heard his footsteps, and Zainab and his mother, Umi Layla, were in there, and they were waiting for him. And before he could say anything, Lady Zainab said, Ya Allah, how is it that Akbar is coming now to seek my permission to go to battle? And she did not feel good about that, knowing that her own sons, Aun and Muhammad, had not yet played their role. So she made dua. And, you know, she embraced and hugged Ali Akbar. And his mother told him, after embracing him, may Allah be with you. And he went back to his father to tell him that, you know, he has the permission. And while he was walking out of the tent, and the imam was behind him, and he was getting ready to mount his horse, he felt a tug from behind, and his obviously there's a lot of tears flowing, and you know, he turned around and really couldn't see that it was his sister Sakina tugging on him, on his robe, saying, oh my brother, please do not go to the battlefield when no one has returned since morning. And with tears in his eyes, he picked up Sakina and kissed her face and put her down. And he went off to battle. And he understand that Ali Akbar looked like Rasulullah. He looked just like Rasulullah in characteristics and manners. And Imam Hussein said, you know, he made a dua before, which I don't have memorized, where he mentioned that whenever we wanted to see Rasulullah, we would look at Ali Akbar. So imagine him sending his oldest son out to battle. And Ali Akbar, he gave speeches, you know, encouraging the, or trying to incite the enemies to come to their senses. And he also recited poetry, praising Ahlul Bayt. And he was very victorious in, you know, in battle. And he defeated about 120 men, approximately 120 men. Anyway, back at the tents, Zainab and Umi Layla were making a dua. They said, "Oh Allah, oh the God who brought Ishmael back to Hajra. Oh Allah, who brought Yusuf back to Yaqub. Oh Allah, who brought Musa back to his mother. Please allow us to see Ali Akbar at least one more time." And in between single combats, he went back to the tents. And you can imagine that the first time he left was sad. Leaving again was even sadder, because everyone knew that they would no longer see him alive. He hugged his family and his father again, and he went off to battle. And Imam Hussein would stand and watch him battling, and he said that he was fighting so bravely and victoriously and courageously that he reminded him of his own father, Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the ladies wouldn't look at the battlefield, they would look at Imam Hussein, because they knew that when the moment came of the martyrdom of Ali Akbar, they would be able to tell from the Imam's face what had happened. Then finally, Imam Hussein was expecting the call. Obviously, expecting it or anticipating it doesn't as hurt as much as hearing it. Said, "Yeah, Father, Akbar has fallen from his horse. He had taken a wound into his chest by a lance. And he was on the ground in the last throes of life." And Imam Hussein ran out to him, stumbling a few times. And he couldn't see because his eyes were filled with tears. So Abbas came and helped him and guided him. And before that, Imam had said, "My son, yell aloud so we can find the direction to his cause." And Abbas came and guided him to him. And he got down and he fell on Ali Akbar. And he had fainted, and you know, blood was flowing profusely from his wounds. And you know, thirst and the wounds was a horrible combination. So he said, "Oh my son, where does it hurt? Oh my son, who has hurt you? Oh my son, say something to me." And Ali Akbar did not respond. He said, "Oh Abbas, tell him to say something to me, Abbas. Tell him to say something to me, Abbas." But Ali Akbar didn't say anything. After life left Ali Akbar, Imam tried to carry him back to the camp, and he tried to pick him up, and he himself was overwhelmed with emotion and had a hard time. So Abbas said, "You know, I am alive. Let me help you." And he said, "No, let me have this comfort of carrying my son, the coolness of my eyes, back to the camp." So he did his best to pick him up, and struggling, how he made it to the camp, Allah knows best. Perhaps Rasulullah and Ali and Fatima Zahra all came down to help him carry him back to the camp. And when he got there, they all wept at the scene. The first fell from the Ahlul Bayt, Ali Akbar. And his motives were no different than the motives of the companions. He wanted to go out and fight as long as he could so the rest of his family can stay alive as long as they could, the men and brothers of the family and nephews and uncles. no matter which member of the caravan of love we discuss, no matter which night we discuss it, there will be a common factor that unites them all, which is the quality of ithar. Everyone gave their life so that someone else can live a little bit longer. To honor Imam Hussein and his Ahlul Bayt, we must do our best. We must work diligently to obtain this attribute of ithar. Did Imam Hussein display ithar? We mentioned the companions, and we mentioned the men of his household displaying this quality. Somebody has to be asking, so did Imam Hussein display ithar? Did Imam Hussein give away he himself needed to benefit somebody else? Did Imam Hussein give away something that he needed to benefit somebody else? Yes. Imam Hussein gave away his Ahlul Bayt and gave away his own life for you. Imam gave away his Ahlul Bayt, his sons, his cousins, his nephews, his uncles, his brothers, for us. What is ithar? You give away to someone else what you yourself need. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the blessings and tawfiq to be on the right path. We ask Him for the wisdom to understand His guidance. We ask Him to hasten the reappearance of our Imam and to make us His helper when He comes. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Safdar. No, please do it, bro. Do it.
Aap karo, bhai. Aap suno meri baat. Ya Allah, Allah is
I need the right pastors.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu ala aliyyin namir al-mu'mineen. Assalamu ala al-Hassan wa al-Hussein, Sayyid al-Shababi, Ahli Jannati Ajmain. Assalamu ala Ali ibn al-Hussein, Zain al-Abidin. Assalamu ala Muhammad ibn Ali, Baqir ilmi al-Nabiyin. Assalamu ala Jafar ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq. Assalamu ala Musa ibn Jafar al-Qadim. Assalamu ala Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. Assalamu ala Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad. Assalamu ala Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi. Assalamu ala al-Hassan ibn Ali al-Zaqi al-Askari. Assalamu ala Hujati ibn al-Hassan al-Qa'im al-Mahdi. Salawatullahi alayhim ajma'in. Allah.
brothers and sisters in Iman, Assalamu alaikum. Just as a reminder about announcements, our program starts at 6:30 p.m. with Niaz. 7:30 p.m. is Salat. At 8 o'clock, we're doing Soa Salam and Mercy in the Urdu section. And in the English section, we are doing Ziyat Ashura in English and Arabic. At 8:30, Molana sends the member. And at 9:30, we're having a joint matam in Hall A for the gents and a joint matam for the ladies in Hall C. As a reminder, this is a time to make sure that your membership information is updated, that you've made your membership dues and your general donations. Inshallah, our goal is 50,000. Those that are listening online, the PayPal account is working under the Giving Back tab. So again, if you need to make sure your membership is updated, please go to Hall A. You can update your address, your contact information, as well as fulfill your membership obligations. But this time, if you can make your way out, that way the ladies can do their matam here in an orderly fashion. Salawat.